Up next on Inside the Cleveland Browns, get a post-game field pass following the game in Cincinnati.
Be a part of the special gift Gary Barnage donates weekly to a deserving child.
Meet a family that travels all the way from Mexico to cheer on the Browns, and Joe Thomas gets the tables turned on him from the original number 73.
All that and more coming up on Inside the Cleveland Browns.
Good morning, Dog Pound. Welcome to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, it was a tough night in Cincinnati this week, and unfortunately, the Browns were unable to get the win against the undefeated Bengals. But let's take a look at what Coach Pett and Johnny Manziel had to say after the disappointing loss.
Obviously, no frustrating way to end it. I thought we competed well for a half. That's a good football team. They made more plays than we did. I mean, you want to point to reasons why they're having the success they're having. That with the threats they have on the outside, it opens up the middle of the field, and he's playing good football for them. I thought he did some good things. I just thought, in the second half, I don't know whether he was trying, especially once we fell behind, trying to make too many big plays instead of just taking completions. And I don't know if the second half we played well enough around him for him to play well.
I think we hurt ourselves a little bit there in the second half. We didn't do enough. That's what it comes down to. It's a game of little things. A couple little things change that second half. Even sitting there with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, just to get something established. I think it took a little too many shots right there. Back shoulder, Debo. Ball over the middle to Barnage. I just gotta get some completions to get into a rhythm, and that really didn't happen for us in the second half.
We talked about we're in this fight together. It's a lot of frustration in that room. Nobody's happy with where we are.
Our faith is being tested. The season hasn't gone the way that we wanted it to go, but at the same time, we've got to keep plugging away. It's not over. We still have a chance to do some good things and show that we have a lot of fight left in us. But right now, I think our faith is being tested a little bit, so we'll see how we respond.
So we're going to take this little bit of time off to refocus and re-energize, know that there's a lot of football left to be played. And like I said, we're in this fight together.
The Browns desperately needed to get a win. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. However, there were some positives in the game, including Duke Johnson in the first half, who got off to a fast start. Nathan Zagura had a chance to catch up with him on the field after the game to talk about the Browns' only touchdown of the night.
Nathan Zagura here with Duke Johnson, who caught the Browns' lone touchdown of the game against the Cincinnati Bengals, capping off a 92-yard drive to end the first half. And Duke, let's talk about that drive. It seemed like that was obviously the best one of the game, but what were you guys doing successfully right there?
I wouldn't say we just found a way. Crowell in that drive had a lot of big plays and helped us get all the way down there. But we just found a way on that drive.
And you had two big catches on that drive, 38 yards, and of course the touchdown. Talk about the touchdown play.
It was a little angle right out of the backfield. Johnny was under pressure. I just tried to get in a window the way he could see me, and he delivered a great ball.
Is that something you guys work on in practice, kind of like a scramble drill?
That's something we try to make, especially with having Johnny in, make sure that we able to do it. Even when Josh getting in, he tried to run a little bit. We just try to stay alive for him.
What do you think you guys need to do? You got kind of a mini bye week now, 10 days to get ready for Pittsburgh to get this offense back on track to play a full 60 minutes.
Right now it's trusting. Trusting that the guy that's calling the plays is gonna call the game, and we just got to go out there and trust him, and we'll be all right.
Duke, thank you so much. Congratulations on another touchdown. You're getting quite a collection of those balls. All right, you got it.
Certainly has to be frustrating for these young running backs who got off to a fast start, including Isaiah Crowell in this game. Nathan Zagura also caught up with Crow after the game.
Joined by Browns running back Isaiah Crowell, who had a very, very good first half, touching the ball 12 times, over 60 total yards in that half. We'll get to the second half in a second, but let's focus on the good half there. What allowed you to get into that rhythm, and how good did you feel out there?
I feel very good. It was really just the O-lineman and the receivers blocking downfield. The O-lineman created some good holes, and, I felt like I did the easier job by running through them.
Did you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder? It seemed like you were running very hard here tonight, punishing would-be tacklers.
Yes, some on my shoulder, just because, you know, I feel like, you know, I deserve, you know, this position, and I deserve, you know, to be the starting running back, and I wanted to just go out there and just show, you know, Cleveland that, you know, I want to get that.
And you certainly showed it, not only running the football, but underrated as a receiver, showing a lot of shiftiness out there. Again, you had a nice catch there. Do you like kind of getting out in space and making people miss in addition to running them over?
Right. I feel like, you know, I can get in space and I can make a lot of people miss, and I do like that a lot. And I feel like, you know, I can make plays if I get the ball in my hand in space.
Do you think that, you know, going forward, not to necessarily say you need to keep a commitment to the run because the game's going to dictate that, but, you know, when you can't get first downs together, does that just kind of make you guys kind of get out of your rhythm?
Yes, I feel like we got out of the rhythm a lot in the second half, but I know we ran the ball great the first half, and, you know, that's why we had a lot of success.
Crow, thank you so much. Excellent game today, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Well, the offense certainly has some things to work on before the matchup next week against Pittsburgh. All right, Dog Pound, stay right here. We're coming right back at you. Up next on Inside the Cleveland Browns, see all the intricacies that go into making a helmet. Get to know Parma native Jamie Meter, and Joe Thomas grills Doug Deacon on an all-new Joe Thomas Hour.
Oh, look at this. Look at this.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, we all know the Browns helmet is iconic in the NFL, but what you may not know is that the factories that make the helmet are right here in Northeast Ohio, Elyria and Macedonia to be exact. Let's take a look at what goes into making them.
We're at Riddell's helmet production facility in Elyria, Ohio today. Riddell's very proud of our relationship with the Cleveland Browns. We've got over 400 employees that work at this facility most of the year. 398 of them, I think, are Cleveland Browns fans, and I don't know how the other two even got in here. Everybody that works here gets to see the products that they work on, used on Friday nights at high schools and on TV at elite colleges and NFL games. You know, it's great to see the things that you work on used on television for the nation to see every weekend. Well, Riddell's history in the football helmet industry goes back into the late 1930s. John Riddell invented the first plastic football helmet. He invented the web suspension system that went into that football helmet, which was used by the U.S. military in World War II. Well, today's helmets are more technologically advanced than they've ever been. Helmets that are used on the field today make use of tremendous research into head injuries that's gone on over the past decade or more. All we know about how to best protect the player is put into the latest Riddell helmets. You know, that's certainly the primary motivator of what I do, is keeping players well protected and safe on the field so that they can have a great experience playing football, playing the great game of football. You know, and I think that motivates everybody at the Riddell facility, is knowing that what they do is that important to the game, that important to protecting players and keeping them safe. Every helmet is completely customizable. The customer, whether it's the Browns or High School USA, you know, they specify the face guard that they want on it, the type of chin strap, the size, the color combination, special fitting requirements for players. You know, all of that can be ordered on a custom basis in a football helmet. We want to make sure every helmet that leaves the Riddell facility is as it's supposed to be. We actually put a lot of care into making helmets for all of our customers, whether they're from the youngest youth leagues all the way up to professional teams. And we're very proud of our place in the game.
Pretty impressive, Sarah, that this little plastic shell right here can protect a player from all those collisions. By the way, made by Design Molded Plastics.
Yeah, and Gary Barnage is especially appreciative of that protection in a game. And speaking of Gary, you see all the moves he has on the field, but it's something he does after every home game that really makes a difference. Lauren Brill got an inside look at this touching exchange.
Oh, they're coming.
And Gary Barnage has done a whole lot in his shoes.
And caught!
After every home game, in partnership with a nonprofit called Samaritan's Feet, he gives those shoes away to a child involved with Ohio Guidestone, an organization that helps foster children.
How did you get involved in giving shoes to children?
It's part of Samaritan's Feet. It's what they do. They go all over the country and they give away shoes to kids that can't afford them, that don't have them. So I bring 10 kids every home game from Ohio Guidestone, and I wanted to give one of those kids the shoes. Also, started something new this year where I actually buy them a pair of shoes that they can actually wear themselves.
When the Browns took on the Arizona Cardinals, Jerron Cox chosen to receive the shoes.
Jerron loves football. This will be something that they will remember the rest of their lives.
Jerron is a foster child with a troubled past. His grandparents are about to legally adopt him. He and his siblings currently live with them.
It was hard. It was heartbreaking because a lot of times I would actually just break down and start crying when I talked about it. My dream is just to give them a happy home, make sure, you know, look forward to them growing up as normal kids and not have to look back at what they've been through.
I am just feeling happy to be with them.
Jerron also feeling happy about the chance to meet the Browns tight end.
How you doing?
Good.
What's your name?
Jerron.
Here, these are for you.
And ask him a very important question.
How did you catch the ball in your legs?
It was luck. It was hard. Luck and awareness.
Jerron has walked through tough times. Barnage.
I got you these as well for you that you can wear. Okay. All right.
Giving him shoes to wear as he now takes steps towards a better future.
All right, thank you very much.
Well, Gary Barnage, a.k.a. Good Guy Gare, continues to impress all of us on and off the field. All right, Dog Pound, keep it right here. We'll be right back. When we return, Jamie Meter gets blitzed and Joe Thomas and Doug Deacon square off for the best 2 minutes of your life.
Glad it's only 2 minutes. I got to take a nap.
I believe that's true, even though I laughed.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Defensive end Jamie Meter grew up in Parma, Ohio, and when coming to the Browns last year, he continued to live with his parents in his childhood home. This is a guy that we all want to get to know a little bit better in this week's Browns Blitz.
My first celebrity crush was the Pink Ranger.
Hi-ya!
From Power Rangers. What cheers me up is a sunny day. My favorite movie is L.A. Confidential. My dream vacation is Germany because I'm German. My favorite place to go in Cleveland is Parma, Ohio. If I was a pro wrestler, my alter ego would be the Brahma Bull.
Well, Jamie also confessed that he owned a Joe Thomas jersey in high school. That's got to be pretty crazy. You know, being on the same team with somebody that you grew up rooting for. Fans all have very interesting stories, just like Jamie Meter. In fact, this week's story has a little bit of an international flair. Take a look at the Serrano family.
Hello, how are you? My name is Jesus. I come from Mexico City, and my family is Edna, my wife, my little girl, Valentina, and my beautiful son, Juan Pablo. We're Mexicans. I started rooting for the Browns since I was 5 years old. I received from my father an autographed football from Greg Pruitt, and since that date, I became a Brown fan. Last year, I decided to have to bring my experience a little bit further, so we decided to become a Browns ticket holders, and it has been the best thing that happened to me in my life. My favorite moment from all time was last year when we beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was my favorite moment from all times.
My favorite memory maybe is last year when we came here and my little son gets some autographs in his shirt. He was so happy when he got the autograph.
All the wonderful experience that we have here. You have a beautiful city. The people have been treating us so nice and kind. So for us, it's like every time that we come here, it's a wonderful experience. So we are pretty much feel like part of the city of Cleveland because it's in our hearts right now.
Now that is a family of dedicated fans.
Another dedicated Browns fan is George Vlasic, who is the owner of GV Art and Design and the man behind the Cleveland That I Love t-shirts that you and I both have. I know that much. Well, he was recently commissioned to create a mural for the City Club at First Energy. Take a look at the impressive and unique design.
The process, you know, I did the Etch-a-Sketches first and then took the line work of that and, you know, did a painting basically underneath it. Did a lot of different elements in here. I try to incorporate even my kids' stuff into each mural I do, too. This is something, I think Robert did some sort of truck. He wanted to do a truck, and Brian did. There's a, like it says Cleveland That I Love, and there's a heart over here, and I think over here, people are proud of their city. And so it's cool to see. And I mean, even from the first Etch-a-Sketches I started doing to the ones I do now, it's cool to be able to do it for the Browns. So the Etch-a-Sketches take about 100 hours plus, so for each one. So, and then from that, the mural took a good solid, you know, week and a half to do. But we tried to just pick different guys from different eras and kind of highlighting those eras. And, you know, I have such fond memories of, you know, Metcalf running the kickoff back, you know, and against the Bills. And so, like, that was the kind of stuff that I wanted to incorporate into it. And, you know, the high five and, you know, sky jamming and, you know, so stuff like that where they're not necessarily Hall of Famers, but they're Browns Hall of Famers. And then just tying in other elements of Cleveland, too, with the Terminal Tower and, you know, the Hope Bridge. We're Cleveland guys through and through, and our whole campaign was, from when it started, was Cleveland That I Love. And I remember the first time my brother wore the shirt, and people were like, oh my gosh, where'd you get that? Like, we like Cleveland too, you know? And now it's really, it's definitely picked up, and it's cool to see the, you know, people behind Cleveland. And it doesn't get that bad rap anymore. And people always liked Cleveland, they just didn't know how to express it.
Congratulations, George. That is such a great addition to the Cleveland Club. And don't go anywhere, Dog Pound. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Inside the Cleveland Browns for a special alumni edition of the Joe Thomas Hour.
Hi, my name is Tyler. What's your name?
I'm Alex Mack. Good to see you.
What's your favorite meal after a game?
I like eating pizza. I'm a fan.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I kind of wanted to be a football player. I think I'm succeeding.
If you could be any animal, what would it be?
Definitely a squirrel, without a doubt.
Why?
I love squirrels. They're my favorite animal.
Which teammate do you look up to the most and why?
Probably Joe Thomas, just because he's another lineman like me, and he's definitely an excellent player.
What do you put on a hot dog?
I put everything on a hot dog. Just pile full of as much as I can.
Like a chair? Do you know karate?
I do not know karate. I did do wrestling, though, so I can kind of know some stuff.
Do you want me to show you my tornado round kick?
I would love to see a tornado round kick. Tornado round kick. Yeah, I get it. Good job.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Alex.
Thanks for having me, Tyler. Go Browns.
Go Browns.
Boom.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, this week's Joe Thomas Hour features Doug Deacon, former Brown and radio color commentator for your Cleveland Browns.
Welcome to today's version of the Joe Thomas Hour, the best 2 minutes of your life. We're lucky here to have on the Joe Thomas Hour, Doug Deacon, the best left tackle the Browns have ever had, and also everybody's favorite 73. So, Doug, thanks for being on the show today.
Well, it's only 2 minutes. I got to take a nap.
I believe that's true, even though I laughed. All right, are you much of a cook? Do you like to cook for yourself at all?
You know, unfortunately, my microwave is broken right now, so I'm kind of limited.
So it's microwave popcorn, that's about it, usually?
Pot pies.
Pot pies. Do you have a favorite type?
Marie Callender's, or whatever her name is.
She's my favorite, too. Who is the most famous person that you've ever met?
Well, I used to think it was Joe Thomas. I guess it would have to be Ronald Reagan.
Really? You met Ronald Reagan?
Yes, I did.
Tell us about it.
He actually came out to training camp one day, over at the Berea, the other facility, was in between the election, and the man that took the bullet for him, Tim McCarthy, when he got shot, was a teammate of mine, and he was on the detail, and he said, "Hey, you want to meet the president?" I said, "What, do I look like an idiot?" Yeah. So it was really a big thrill, and plus he's from Illinois too.
I didn't know that. Ronald Reagan is, or his Secret Service agent?
Oh, both of them.
Really? Yeah. Interesting. If you could possibly think back that far to when you played, do you have one game that stuck out that was maybe your most favorite or most memorable game in all those years?
I would have to say probably the game where I caught a touchdown, just to show that my skills, and had they kept me at tight end, Nick Scorage would probably still be the head coach of Cleveland Browns.
Chicago is home to the world's first skyscraper. I know you're a guy from Illinois. What year was it built?
I don't have a clue.
If you had to guess. The year.
I'm going to say, what qualifies as a skyscraper?
Anything over 50 stories.
Okay, I'm going to say back in the 60s, 64.
1885, good guess. If you could learn any language, what would it be?
English.
I'm sure the people that listen on Sunday would say the same thing.
Definitely. One more thing. Wait, I think, you know, you're a rookie kid.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. Now, this is how we do it, right? Here you go. You got to hold the mic, too.
Yeah, but the trouble is, I need glasses to read. Wisconsin is known as the blank capital of the world.
Dairy.
Well, that kind of went hand in hand, didn't it?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Don't blow it. What Wisconsin city is home to Harley-Davidson motorcycles?
Milwaukee.
You got a lot easier questions than I did. What is Wisconsin's oldest city?
That's a good one. I think it's Green Bay.
You're right.
Yeah. No, sign off. Sign off.
Oh, hey.
Thanks for being on the Joe Thomas Hour.
Oh, hey, thanks for being on the Joe Thomas Hour with Joe Thomas.
The best 2 minutes of your life.
The best 2 minutes of your life.
Now, I wonder if Joe looks at Doug and sees himself in like 35 years, because I definitely do.
That's possible. You know, they kind of look like each other a little bit. They're both huge. They played the same position. And maybe Joe Thomas, as you just saw, he's got the uncanny ability to work behind the mic. Maybe he gets in the broadcast booth one of these days. All right, thanks for joining us. Don't go anywhere, though. Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura have you covered next. They're breaking down Thursday's game and looking ahead to next week's game against the Steelers. Go Browns.